side speaks of the very name of God. God is the I Am. In other words, he's the one who is the existent one. He is the always has been. He's the one that always is, and he always will be. He's the infinite, eternal God. And we don't ever have to wonder if God's going to be on the throne. He is the rock of ages, as was sung by those today. I'm going to ask us, while you've got your finger there, to just find Acts chapter 2, take your hymn book out again. And some of you may not need it, but it's number 627. We're going to start the service, my preaching, with this song, and then we're going to close it with this song. So I just want us to think about Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Let's sing it through two times. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Sing it again. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There's power in a name. The name of Jesus is sweet, and it's a name above all other names. We say above all our names, it's the top of the list. The book of Colossians says that all things flow through Jesus. He is existence. We believe the Bible says that God spoke and the worlds were brought into existence. He said, create, and Adam was created. He reached down and he created Eve out of the dust of the ground, and out of the rib of the man, and there we have Eve. And all mankind. Our very next breath comes because Jesus, in the book of Colossians, says he is the one by whom all things consist. And we might use the word stay in existence for the word consist. Without Jesus' willingness to be here, this world would not be. You and I would not be here. And that name is to be worshipped. And how we live in a world that's taking their fists like this to God and saying, I dare you, in the very face of the one that is their existence, is really quite amazing. And it speaks of the love of God and his tolerance to us. Many of us here, we didn't get saved the first time we heard about Jesus. It took a while, and God just kept working on us. Amen? He kept bringing the gospel, bringing people by, working in our lives with different ways until we realized that we needed to surrender and bow to Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God that died in our place, was buried, and he rose again, and one day all those that placed their faith in him would have everlasting life. But we have to call upon his name. Do you remember the day that you called upon the name of the Lord? I do. Long time ago, on a hay baler right in the middle of a field up in western New York, in the middle of June, my grandfather had died, traumatic for me. Watched that funeral, first one I'd ever been to. They went out to the graveyard. They took my grandfather in that casket. They had pulled the snow back and put the dirt on top of that. And then they put the flowers up. My mind was saying, what in the world? Then they put that casket down the ground and they pushed all that dirt and the snow and they laid the flowers in the top. And I walked away from that with that turning in my mind, February, March, April, May, and June. As I was riding down the field with my sister on this hay baler, I started to talk to her, and I said, Jeannie, where is Grandpa? And she explained to me that if he had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he was in heaven. Then if not, then he was in a place called hell. That was my very first time that it ever really hit my head that my destiny was hinged on Jesus Christ. And that day I believed. A little later than that, I talked to my pastor's wife and officially made sure I had Christ in my heart. But I know that day on that hay baler is the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I remember it just like I can see the hay baler, I can see the field, I can see my sister sitting right there telling me, and I can remember my heart believing that day in Jesus Christ. If you looked at the sign as you came in this morning, I changed it yesterday, and it said, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Then I put a question, do you believe this? To me, that's a resounding yes. He is the life. He is my resurrection power. But it's all in his name. There's a power in the name. The Bible talks about that power, that name. But you know, a name is amazing. Any name is powerful. You know, the right name written in the bottom of a check has a lot of power. Boy, wouldn't you like to know somebody that had millions and billions of dollars and they gave you a blank check with their signature at the bottom? And wow. Jesus has said to us that we have the power to pray and talk to God in his name. And where two or three are gathered together as touching this thing, it shall be done unto them. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a genie's Aladdin, Aladdin lamp where you would rub it and out comes Jesus. And Jesus, you do as I say. That's not what he's teaching us. But he is our God of provision. And he says, if we trust in him, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. And he's pretty rich in glory. Power in a name. Kids won't behave. You say, you need to behave. They won't. Dad said so. There's power in a name. When dad says it, amen, you better straighten up. In the school here, I see sometimes a teacher's a little frustrated. The kids are a little bit full of themselves. They said, you better behave, you better behave. And then they see me turn the corner. You better behave or I'm going to tell the principal. There's power in a name. And you know, Jesus has the ability to back up that name. That's the big thing. He can do what he says because why? We believe the Bible says he is God. Let that sink afresh in your mind. He is God, and he loves me, and he's opened himself up to me, and I can talk to the Creator God, and he's authorized me to invoke that name. As a matter of fact, he wants me to invoke that name. He loves me. He's my Father. I've accepted him. I've been adopted into the family, and Jesus has made me joint heirs with him. What a wonderful thing. There's power in a name. When our church 38 years ago was getting ready to buy its first piece of property back in Spring Branch, the people in our church gathered money together. We got about 30 some thousand dollars, which was a lot for a few people. And then we got several of our men in our church that were willing to sign on this loan as we went to buy this property. And my father-in-law, Dr. Hodges, his church, North Houston Baptist, said they would sign on the loan. So we were just going to borrow $70,000 more and buy this piece of property. Doesn't sound like much. The loan should have been a no-brainer. We had the $30,000 down, and they turned down our loan. I got this call from this bank, and they said, you've been turned down, and they had their reasons. And I said, what are we going to do? So I called Dr. Hodges up, and I said, Dr. Hodges, what are we going to do? The people have worked so hard, and now we're going to lose. I don't want to have the heart. He said, well, let me make a phone call. So he called this man that lived down in the Heights in Houston and is a friend of the ministry at North Houston and had given, and is a Christian man. He's done a lot of nice things. And he said, let's see if he maybe could help us figure out what to do. Well, just a few minutes later, he called back and he said, I understand you're trying to get a loan. He said, where is it at? Who do you have it with? And I explained to him, and he said, I'll see what I can do. 15 minutes later, the phone rings. The lady who had turned down my call on the phone, the loan on the phone, she called back and said, we've changed our mind. We've approved your loan. And I said, what made the difference? The name of the fellow that called me. Little did I know, he was on the board of the bank. And he had several million dollars in their bank. And when he said that this loan was guaranteed, guess what? We got it over the telephone. You ever get a loan approved over the telephone like that? There's power in a name. There's power in a name. I grew up in Western New York, and I grew up on a street named Steinhoff Road, and that's Steinhoff and Butts Road. Butts Road runs quite a distance. It's probably about 10, 15 miles long, named after my grandfather, my great-grandfather. There's even Butts Park. And I can remember as a child, growing up to be a teenager, going places, and I would be able to walk in and say, we need to order such of this. And they said, who are you? I'm Dwayne Butts' son. Take care of it. My mom could walk in and cash a check. Who are you? Mrs. Butts. You're Hyla Butts's, you're Dwayne Butts's son, wife. And in the area I lived in, Butts, you may think it's a strange name, but it's a powerful name even to this day. It has a lot of ability to open and shut doors because it's a name that's backed up with a lot of things. Jesus has a name. I'm just trying to give you some idea of the power of a name. Jesus has power beyond anything that I've talked about, beyond a president's signature. Boy, don't you like Donald Trump's signature? Looks like he had a heart attack. And you cry like that, and it's all bold as can be, just like his personality. And when he signs something, it becomes a law. It becomes something that, boy, starts a lot of trouble, probably, but it's power in that name. And we could go on, but Jesus' name is powerful. Now, when we use the name, there's power, in the original language, there's two words for power. One, it doesn't matter, but it's the word exousia, and it simply means this, when it says power, that there's authority. Who gave you that power? In other words, who authorized you? Why are you here? Who told you could come and open this door? Who said you have the permission? I've got so-and-so told me, oh, you've been authorized. You have power. You have the power to do that. You know, when I give out keys to different people on staff, I usually say, you know, with this key goes authority. You can open and shut. Make sure if you open, you shut it because it's your responsibility. Now at that building, people come in and out. You make sure they belong in there because now you have, not only with that authority, you have some responsibility. Amen? So there's power like authority. But then there's a second word, and a lot of what we're going to study this morning is the second word, which is dunamis. And you can see the word dunamis, dynamite. Sort of we get it in our English language. This is might or power or explosive or ability. Who gave you the strength? Jesus, in a lot of what we're going to talk about today, has the might to do anything. He has the ability. And where does he get his exousia? Where does he get his authority? He is God. And he, from the throne, God the Father, has been authorized that whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus would be saved. That's a powerful name. So with that in mind, let's look through the book of Acts just quickly this morning. I'm going to not try to get caught in our foot too deep. I hope it's encouraging to you. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 21, please. Here's the first sermon in the book of Acts. Peter's preaching. It's on the day of Pentecost. They've all spoken in these foreign languages. And Peter now gets up. In verse 14, it says he's standing up and lifted up his voice. But I want you to look at verse 21, right in the beginning of a sermon. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, for many of us here, you've already called on the name of the Lord. Would you say amen? And that day when you humbled yourself and you said, all that stuff I was trying to do to impress God wasn't good enough. Because God said all my good works were as filthy rags. And all that sin I was doing, God's surely going to have to deal with me because God's a holy God. But Jesus came and Jesus died and he paid for my sin. He paid the full price of my sin debt. And then he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued, shall be saved, shall have his sin debt paid. So the first thing we see right here in the beginning of Acts, this was prophesied. If we were to go back, Peter is going back, way back to the book of Joel. And it says, it shall come to pass, New Testament, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. So right there, if we were to stop the sermon this morning, we've sort of drawn a line for us to consider. Have you called upon that name? Jesus said elsewhere in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. There's no exceptions. There are no other ways. Jesus is not a way. He is the way. And Jesus has opened that door. I like what it says there in verse 21. Whosoever shall call. No filter. That means you, I, red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, any background of country we're from. I don't care what sins, how big they are, how little they are. Whosoever can humble themselves and realize who Jesus is and what he can do. And they call, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. They shall be saved. There's power in that name. Look at verse 24 in that same sermon. Whom God hath raised up, that's Jesus, because he died for us. He raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be holden or held by those cords of death. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. That's a rock, isn't it? You put yourself on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that sort of shifts around. Have you ever tried to rest on something only to find out it wasn't fastened? Man, Pastor Robert was telling me last week they had a man, an elderly man. He was in his church. They were having a fellowship afterwards. And this man just reached over to grab the chair. And he caught the side of the chair. And the chair slid across the room. And so did the man, right through the sheetrock. Fortunately, he's okay. I wish that was true of Dr. Hodges, but he rested on something that wasn't fastened. But when you call upon the name of the Lord, you won't be moved. He is a fastened rock that you can count on. Look on in verse 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. I love that word hope. I preach on it quite often. The word hope here is not maybe, it's confidence. Because I've called on the name of the Lord, who is my unmovable rock, I can rest in hope. I can rest in confidence. My hope, my confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, please, on with me, the same chapter. Look at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Now, I can't quite say that like Peter did. Peter was there. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was there. Peter was there when he ran away because he felt like he betrayed the Lord. And then he came back and they said, he's risen from the dead. And Peter was one of the first two to run to the tomb. And he saw the empty tomb. And then he went back and he said, what does this mean, an empty tomb? And there Jesus appeared in the room, and he held up his hands and he said, see the nail prints in my hand, and here's where they put the spear in my side. And he walked and he talked, and he was with the Lord Jesus. And Peter was with him when he went out to the mount outside of Jerusalem. And there the angels took Jesus up into heaven, and he said, so in like manner shall I return. Look for me. Peter was witness. Eyeball witness to all this. And here we have Peter preaching now on this day of Pentecost, and he's saying, whereof we are witnesses of this resurrected Savior. And I'm here to tell you, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says that this witness was of over 500 people could raise their hands, and they say, I will swear, we would say on the Bible, I'll swear to tell the truth, that I saw the resurrected Savior. Now, you and I can't say I saw him, but we have witnesses, sure. But let me take that same word, witnesses. Peter was a witness of him. What is our job? To witness of the name of Jesus. This world needs to know about Jesus. They need to know that there's someone who is a rock, who is God, who if they call upon, they can rest in hope. And Peter says, whereof we are witnesses. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, he is both Lord and he is Christ. Jesus is the Lord. What does Lord mean? We say, oh, Lord Jesus all the time. Lord just simply means he's boss. He's the king. He's the head. He's number one. He rules the nation. He rules the world. He rules the universe. God hath made him Lord, and he has made him Christ. What is Christ? He is the anointed sent one from God to rescue sinful mankind from the destiny of their punishment, from hell. He is Lord, and he's Christ. He is the King of Kings, and he is the rescuer. He is the one that came for you and for me. Look at Will a little further, please, in verse 37. As the people heard Peter preach, he is Lord and he's Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What does it mean to be pricked in your heart? I would use the word they were convicted. Do you remember the day you were convicted? He said, boy, I need that salvation. Maybe you're here today and you say, boy, Pastor, what you're saying is sort of touching my mind and my heart. You're doing a good job. I don't think it's me doing a good job. I think it's more God's Spirit taking the truth of who Jesus is, and he's going, hey, that means you. And the Lord's pricking on your heart. And he's saying, what are you going to do with that? So they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, listen to their question in verse 37. What shall we do? If this is true, then what should we do? We've crucified the Lord. We've crucified the Messiah. We have crucified Jesus. What shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice there it is, the name of Jesus. What does the word repent mean? It means to turn. I turn from my own sin, all of my own methods, I would think, to get to heaven. You know, religiousness doesn't save anybody. Religion never saved a single person. What is religion? Religion is something you sincerely believe. It's a routine. You religiously exercise. You religiously get up the same time every morning. That doesn't mean you do those things reading the Bible. It means you have a routine. I don't care how sincere worship is. If it's not based on the name of Jesus, it's powerless. Jesus is the way to save. Repent from your own efforts. Repent from your sin. And trust in Jesus and be baptized in his name. Look, if you will, at verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You say, where are we mentioned in verse 39? Do you see that part? All that are far off. To your kids, to you, to anybody in your family, and to all that are far off. We were 2,000 years far off. Even to anybody, what's it say? That shall call. That's the key. I have to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. What's this calling? Faith believing. Lord, you can do what you said. You are who you are. And I am asking you to do that for me. Save my soul. Make me a child of God. Wash my sins away. I believe you are exactly who you said, and you can do it, Lord. I'm calling upon you. I'm asking. I'm receiving. I'm trusting. I'm believing by faith. You don't have to say all those words, but that's the idea. I'm calling upon the Lord, believing, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. I got thinking, what does that word untoward generation mean? So I went back in the original language and I looked up the word untoward. Do you know what it means? Can I give you the Greek word for it? Scoliosis. You ever seen a person with scoliosis? What's wrong with their spine? It's all twisted and warped, isn't it? From the scoliosis generation. Does that mean they all have back problems? No, it means we're in a twisted generation. Are we pretty twisted? Is there some pretty perversion and garbage and away from God? Are we in an untoward generation? So let's plug that in. With many other words, he testified and he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this twisted generation. There are a lot of people that have a lot of thoughts about eternity, but there's only one that matters, God's thoughts. And he says, I've given authority and the power, and it's in the name of Jesus to be saved. That's a powerful name. This is the first sermon in the New Testament that's recorded, the power of the name of Jesus. Let's look at the next sermon or next situation that comes on. Look at Acts chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Peter's walking along. And as he comes along with John in verse 4, it says a guy came along and he wanted him to heal him. And he'd been, in verse 2, from his mother's womb, this person needed to be healed. And so in verse 6, then Peter said to this guy that needed healing, silver and gold have I none. I can qualify with that. Peter said, I don't have a lot of money to give you, but such as I have, give I thee. I don't have money to give you, but I've got something else to give you. Look what he says. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's power in a name. Right there, Peter, through the name of Jesus, healed him. What an amazing thing. Look at verse 7. Then he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And I circle real big in my Bible that next word, immediately. How fast did God work? Right away. Well, eventually God's going to do something. God healed him. Just like that. That's power. There's power in that name. He lifted him up immediately, his feet and his ankles received strength. I love verse 8. And he, the one that was healed, leaping up. You know how I'd get up if I hadn't walked in my whole life? Instead, he gives him a loud, woo! And he started to walk. And you read the rest of verse, and it says, and he leaping and walking. I can't do it. Okay. Maybe I need a healing. I don't know. Okay. Leaping and walking and praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the name of Jesus. You say, you're getting Pentecostal, Pastor? No, but the name of Jesus is pretty special. And a little later on, they said, what's wrong with this man? He ran into Jesus' power. He ran into the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, when Jesus Christ comes into your life and you invoke or believe and receive and trust in the name of Jesus, your life will never be the same. So immediately, look at it. I'll just read it with you. Verse 8. Leaping up, stood, walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him and walking and praising God. You know what they must have thought? Hey, that guy's never walked before from the mother's womb. How could he walk? Even if he was healed, how could he walk? He never learned how to walk. And all of a sudden, he can walk, and he can leap, and he can jump. There's power in a name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Listen, Christian, I think we forget. There's power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when we pray, there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have faith to save us, there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. That same faith in the name of the Lord Jesus can move mountains. Our Lord's name is very powerful. Look at verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why, you think this is something? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? You think it's Peter and John? You think we have power? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here's verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Isn't that powerful? And this name, through faith in this name, has done this notable miracle. Listen, people, it's not pastors, it's not people, it's not religions, it's not churches, it's not all these things. It's the name and the power and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ that saves. An amazing name. Look at verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. There's a new word, converted. Converted means changed. Changed from a sinner into the Son of God. Changed from going to hell to being on your way to heaven. Repent and be converted. Believe. Become a Christian. That your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. Here he talks about the second coming of Jesus. One day Jesus is going to come and take us home. There's power. There's amazing power in that name. Look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Here's the first persecution in the church. Pretty much we're following Peter. Peter had the first sermon. Now we have Peter. He's got the ability to do miracles and amazing things through the name of Jesus. Now, can I just tell you ahead of time what we're going to see in chapter 4? We're going to see that when he keeps preaching in the name of Jesus, the thing that they don't like is that he keeps using that name. That's what they say. Just, you can go on with all your religiousness, just quit using that name. Church without Jesus is zero. Without Christ, we're nothing. I remember somebody saying, it's worse than a zero. You're a zero with the rim rubbed out. That's nothing. Jesus is what it's all about. So they're going to be persecuted. Look, if you will, please, in verse 2, chapter 4. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. There was the issue. They didn't like the resurrection. Verse 7. When they had set them in the midst, they brought them and arrested them. They set them in the midst. They asked, by what power, that's dunamis, and by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, made it very clear. By Jesus. By Jesus. Look at verse 10. Be it known unto all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This was done by the name of Jesus. Never apologize for standing with the name of Jesus. For it will stand forever. Everything that blows against it, everything that tries to tear it down, will lose, be exhausted in its ability. But we will stand if we trust in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 11, please. And this is the stone which was set up not by the builders, which has now become the head of the corner. What's that talking about? They build a building. They found this weird-shaped rock. It didn't fit in everywhere. So they just sort of threw it over here in the rubbish pile, and they got building the building. They got all done, and they said, where is the most important capstone? They said, what do we do with it? Uh-oh. There it is in the rubbish pile. They went and said, without this, the building never would be complete. This is the stone which the builders thought was nothing, and they cast out, and they found out it was the head of the corner. Jesus is the most important thing in life. And people, we have time for so much other names of other people and other authorities and other issues and other things in our life. And sometimes do we not sort of push Jesus over to the rubbish pile? And there are people that get all kinds of education. They work hard. They build up a lot of money in the bank. And they think all these things are so important. And they never have time for Jesus. One day they're going to find out they missed the essential ingredient in their life. It was the name of Jesus. They need Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? As a Christian, is he the center point of your life? I want you to look, please, in verse 7. And when they had set him to him, by what power? He says, by the name of Jesus. Look at verse 12. This is probably one of the more significant verses we're going to look at this morning. Please circle it, mark it, note it in your mind. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, this is the name. His name is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And what do we do with it? The question, what do we do with it? Well, you need to repent and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted, become a Christian. There is none other name whereby ye must be saved. I looked up the word must. And another way of putting the word must, it's translated, it is absolutely necessary. There is no other name where it's absolutely necessary. Without Jesus, you have no spiritual hope. It is the essential ingredient in your life. Look at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do you know, I like that verse because here's some people that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, can I put it in Pastor Butt's language? These bunch of hillbillies that are fishermen, how did they become preachers and so confident and able to preach and see the world turned upside down? And they took notice. What is different about these guys? You know what the difference was? They had been with Jesus. Jesus Christ will change your life, people. If you let him not only be your Savior, but your boss, your Lord, your King, you put him in the center of your life, people will begin to take note. What's happened to that man? What's happened to that lady? What's happened to that young teenager? They're completely changed. Years ago, we had a man come into our church. He got saved, and after he was saved, he had a pretty bad teenage life. He used to break into people's houses on the north side of Houston and just steal money for, you know, things, a couple $100s and stuff like that. He would rob people's cars at Randall's. That makes you feel happy, doesn't it? I mean, did all kinds of stuff like that. Got sent to jail 2 or 3 times. And they talked to him about Jesus, but, you know, he only used Jesus because he thought maybe it was a free time to go do a Bible study and he'd get out of some work. But he really didn't believe in Jesus. But after about his 3rd time in jail, he was home. Life was at the bottom. And he got reading some of the literature and I talked to him about the power in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I can remember as Lee gave me this testimony, he said, I was in my bedroom and I just realized this name is what I've been resisting all this time. In my life, the way it's going is leading to a big fat nothing. It's only getting worse. His father was a career prisoner. He'd be in jail for 5 years, out for a few months, back in for 5 years, out a month. As a matter of fact, I preached his father's funeral. It was a prison funeral. That's why he'd been brought up. He said, I don't want this. Who can change my life? And he got reading, Jesus can. So he said, Lord Jesus, got down the side of his bed, Lord Jesus, I don't know that I have all the faith, everybody else. I don't understand exactly who and why you are, but I do know you said if I call on you that you would save me, and I'm asking the best I know. And you know what? God saved his life. Well, he came into our church, got growing, and about 2 years later, one day he invited some of his old buddies that used to be pretty nasty, and they came to church, and they were just in the church that service, and Lee had to use the restroom or something. And I was talking to these guys, and they said, your old friends of Lee's, they said, oh yeah, we could tell you about Lee. And I said, well, it's pretty neat. And they said, what happened to him? He's totally different. What changed him? Oh, you talk about a slow pitch softball. I said, Jesus did. Got a chance to talk to him. What Jesus did. Do you know what Lee's doing today? He's a pastor. What? A guy that's stolen and done? That's what Jesus can do. How in the world could that happen? And I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. Well, verse 17 of chapter 4, it says they threatened them. Verse 17, be it spread no further, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. We don't want any more about Jesus. Can I tell you, in our society today, are we sort of hearing that? Politician gets up and he says, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you talk about the press. And I'm not saying everybody in the press doesn't know Jesus, but a lot of them don't. And they take their old guns out and they start in. This guy thinks he's going to convert the nation. We're not running to vote in a preacher. Just don't talk about Jesus. You can be a Christian in your office quietly, but don't bring it into, boy, they don't like the name of Jesus. That'll set off a lightning bolt, a chain reaction. And that's exactly what had happened. Chapter 5, Peter, once again, gets arrested and put in jail. And I like chapter 5. He's preaching in the name of Jesus in spite of this. And as he preaches, they throw him in jail at midnight. You know what Peter was doing at midnight? Singing and praising God and praying. And an angel came down and touched him. And off fell the chains, up opened the fetters. The door went open, and Peter walked right out. The jailer didn't even know. The next morning, they called for a trial, and they were going to really give it to Peter. They said, go get Peter out of jail. They opened up the... Where's Peter and John? They're not here. We're in trouble. They looked and looked. Guess what he was doing? He was over in the temple preaching in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says... They tenderly went and they said, Peter, would you mind coming with us because you got a trial date? Yes, sir, I'll be glad to go with you to jail. And they said they were so awestruck by what God had done to deliver him that they could say nothing against it. And yet they threatened him one more time, we'll let you go, but don't speak. This went on and on and on, all the way up through the Acts. And if you look at it, it's always the name of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus to save. And whosoever shall call and repent and be converted and trust in him, and whosoever, there's no filter. It's the name of Jesus over and over. And finally, we get to another character named Stephen. Stephen is an evangelist. He's preaching. One day God said, there's a guy that needs to hear the gospel. He's an Ethiopian from down in Africa, and he's come up to Jerusalem to worship, and he's riding home on his chariot. He's a captain. He's a pretty man of big authority under the queen of Ethiopia, and he's riding back, but he's reading in Isaiah, and it speaks there about the Lord Jesus coming in Isaiah 53, and he's reading, and he doesn't understand, who is this speaking of? Well, it's speaking of Jesus. Well, Stephen doesn't understand why God brings him over here. He said, see him riding down the road in that chair? See him reading? Run up to him. So Stephen ran up and he said, excuse me, excuse me. He says, come up and get my chart. He said, what are you reading? I'm reading this about Isaiah 53. Do you have any idea what it's talking about? And he preached unto him Jesus. And you know what happened? The Ethiopian got saved. let me stop the chariot. And he explained to him that after you accept Jesus Christ, the first step that you do after you're saved is you get baptized. He said, hey, there's a little pond over there. Can I get baptized in the pond? He said, let's go. Went over there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I baptized in the name of the Father, the Son. I became. And he rode right down into Ethiopia. And do you know what we learned? Not from the Bible, but from church history. The Coptic church and all the rest formed around the witness of that Ethiopian eunuch. God took the gospel into northern Africa through that witness. There's power in a name. That name is Jesus Christ. Have you bowed to that name? In the book of Philippians, I would have you turn for one more passage. Turn over a few chapters, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God, are you there, Philippians 2? Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is. So whose name's at the top of the list? Yeah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you know the Bible makes it very clear? Can I make it clear to us this morning? This is not Pastor Butts telling you this. This is, I believe, what the Bible says. One day, every knee will surrender to the Lord Jesus. Now, there's two ways a knee can bow. One is voluntarily, and the other is by submission. When I was a little kid, I used to play uncle with my brother. You ever played uncle? You take somebody and grab their arm behind their back, and you go twist and twist until they call uncle. Problem is, between brothers, you could break his arm before he called uncle. You have to stop at a certain point because it gets stubborn. You ever played it? Ladies are going, what? Come on, guys. You ever played it? Okay. Makes us look like we're mean old men, I guess. I don't know. I don't want God to have to deal with me like that. But God does call to us, and he says, will you bow your knee to me and call upon my name? Without doing it in this life, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. When I come to the judgment and God's going to judge me for my sins, I will bow my knee to his authority. And I'd rather bow my knee as he is saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into life everlasting, or depart from me into everlasting judgment. But every knee will bow. Lord Jesus Christ. If I had time, I'd take you to the book of Revelation. It's one of my favorite victories. Chapter 5, as we're in the end time prophecy and they're in heaven, it seems like there's no hope. And they look around heaven. Who can save mankind? And the Lamb, as it were, that had been slain from the foundation of the world, they call up Jesus. He's that Lamb. And the people say, oh, we thought there was no hope for mankind. Look, here's the Lamb. And the Bible says they begin to praise his name and worship him. And the last couple words, I looked it up afresh yesterday in chapter 5. It says, and all the people and all the nations and everybody in heaven, every creature and every beast and the 24 elders and all this whole picture in heaven, they praised his name. Listen, forever and ever. You know what we're going to be doing for eternity? Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. There is no other name. Christians, we're coming upon Easter. We ought to celebrate the name of Jesus. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, receive him. He died to make the eternal difference, and he is the only one that can. And he says, for whosoever shall be saved. Have you done that? You say, you want me to get baptized? I didn't say that. You want me to join your church? I didn't say that. You want my money? I'll take that. No, I didn't say that. Come to Jesus Christ. I was listening to somebody a couple years ago on the radio, and they were mocking. They were talking about somebody that had been changed. It sounded like this guy had probably become a Christian. And they said, he went to a come to Jesus meeting. That's the way they called it. You know, they were mocking. Came to a come to Jesus meeting. You know what? It's true. Call all you want. What are you going to do with Jesus? Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I looked in our hymn book. It's filled 7-8 songs. You know I like to sing. I'm not going to do it to you this morning. Song after song after song about the name of Jesus. What a wonderful, let me just list some of those names. You probably know. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. The Lord, the King, the Master. Oh, how I love Jesus. It starts out, there is a name I love to sing. I love to hear its worth. It sounds like music in mine ears. The sweetest name on earth. Glorious is thy name. Oh, how I love Jesus. We said we would sing 627 again. Would you turn there with me, please? This is how we started the sermon. Like us to sing it through twice. Shall we stand to our feet, please? Sing it with your heart, please. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. All God's people said, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to newly appreciate the name of Jesus that was saved by, when we pray that we call and authorize that prayer by whom we overcome the problems of life, by whom the promises of the book of the Bible are brought to us, that lovely, lovely name. Lord, help us to never think it's us. Thank you that you are our breath, that you are our energy, that you are our Savior, that you are our all in all. Father, I pray that if there's somebody that's away from the Lord and he's not where he should be in their Christian life, that they would put him back as Lord, the King of all, like he is. And Father, if there's someone here that's never called on that name this morning, I hope today they will see, for whosoever shall call means them. And when? Now. The day that they hear and understand is the day they should call on your name. Thank you for never turning anybody away. Thank you for not turning me away all those years ago. Oh Lord, work in our midst today. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed,